He's on their way to Charleston, South Carolina right now. Left at, it was before 5 o'clock this morning. And so I'm going to give a shout out to Hope and Ann Claire listening in on the drive. The one in the passenger seat is operating the phone, and the one driving is keeping her eyes on the road and on all the cars around them and paying very close attention so that they're going to be safe drivers and have a safe trip down there. So thank you all for joining us on the internet. Visitor cards. If you are a first-time visitor to the Victory Bible class, by definition, that means your name is not on the check-in back there. Then you are a visitor. There's a visitor card in front of you. If you would be so kind as to fill that out, we'd love to acknowledge you and thank you for being here in the Victory Bible class. In fact, I see one visitor over here on the front row. Name's not on the roll. So according to our definition, that's a visitor. So welcome all visitors. Missions, our missions slide. I've added one thing new here. Buddy Callahan's still in the app. Buddy has asked for us to pray for no rain so he can finish the project. There's a guy in the Bible that prayed for no rain one time. Who was that? Elijah, yeah. You remember that story? So we're praying for Buddy. Bruno and Roxanne Mendes, remember, they were here with us a few weeks ago. They're still in the States. They won't be in Brazil till next year sometime. I can't remember when. I've added a new name. Summer Scroggs is in Africa. And Summer has not been in this class, but she has a lot of relatives in this class. And so I want to put her name up here as a good tie-in to the Victory Bible class. In fact, there's one relative sitting right there. And so as we see these names, sometimes the audio of me saying a name can help us, but sometimes we see it that helps us remember to pray. They need prayer, and so that's why I want to put these names up there. In the news, something this week that may not affect us because we don't live in Chicago or Detroit, but crime in Chicago and Detroit has taken a turn for the better, I think. So instead of being now accosted by a criminal with a gun or with a knife, the criminal simply approaches you with a QR code. You scan it on your phone, send $20 to his PayPal account, and everybody leaves happy. It's much cleaner, it doesn't get messy, and it's a much better form of crime. This is being piloted in Chicago and Detroit. If it works out, they'll take it out to the entire city. Hopefully, eventually, it'll spread to the entire country. Of course, we could just read the Ten Commandments and take care of that from the start, but there we go. So, birthdays. We only have one birthday this week, the 13th, Richard Gouldrup. Two anniversaries, Cindy Johnson on the 9th, David and Tammy Hayes on the 14th. Who did we miss? Who's got a birthday this week or an anniversary this week? Anybody? I see Grandpa and Grandma back there. I saw that little one yesterday, by the way. Yes, I enjoyed it. He's a beautiful little baby. All right, no other anniversaries and birthdays. Well, happy anniversary and birthday to the ones I mentioned. Guest speaker, who's our guest speaker today? What's it say? Oh, yeah, this is a big surprise. Our pastor, John Herdman, and we welcome you to the Victory Bible class, and you are a visitor according to our definition. So thank you for being here with us today. First time in the Victory class, right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so very good. No. We're welcoming him with open arms. No, we're on our best behavior. I've already been warned before I left the house this morning that I have to be on my best behavior. Do you think that did any good? Oh. All right. We will be briefly in Matthew 14. If you want to look in Matthew 14, that's fine. While we update the prayer list right quick. In order to update the prayer list correctly, I'm going to indulge in this. So, let's see. Getting ready to move. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble with a couple of words here. Kim Woods. Where's Kim? Is Kim? Can you tell us what you have on there? I can read most of this, but I'm having trouble getting started. Oh, sister. Okay. Okay, did everybody hear that? So we have some.
Sorry, I can't write
That's okay. It's probably me. I just don't read good. How about that? So, some of us have had drug abuse going on in our families before, and we know what that's like. Okay, so that's yes. So it's a family situation. Some of us have had things like that, so you understand and you can relate to this. All right, and Justin King is on the list. He I believe we talked about him last week, right? Yes. Okay. So we'll keep him there. So let's go to the Lord. Yeah, I went Friday night up there. Yes, there's been quite a few. There were several Friday night when I was there.
Yeah.
Good. So let's pray, and then we will look briefly into Matthew 14. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us, and you created this day. You let us be a part of it, and you've given us this time we can set aside here in the Victory Bible class, and I give you thanks for it, and I pray this time will be profitable for us. I know that there are people in here that are hurting. There's somebody in here that needs a word of encouragement today. There's somebody in here that needs some edification. Somebody needs a friendly smile. Somebody needs a verse out of the Bible that's just going to get past our intellect and past our minds and get down into the heart. There's someone here, I'm sure, that just needs to hear from you. And Lord, every one of us can walk closer with you. And that's our prayer, that we can walk closer with you. We can be in your word every day, being in prayer every day. I want to pray for these two family situations that have been added to our prayer list. I pray that you would work in a seemingly difficult, almost impossible situation involving alcohol, drugs, abuse, these kinds of things that just make us cringe, but yet it's a very real thing. And Lord, we're just lifting these names up to you today. I want to pray for these missionaries that I've called out. Buddy needs some dry weather so that he can get this project finished. And the Mendes raising their support that they can go back to Brazil. And we have Miss Summer in Africa already, boots on the ground, and just pray your blessings on her and her ministry there. So once again, be with our class today. We want this to honor and glorify you. And we didn't come together for any other reason than to draw nearer to you and to open your word and to get around and study and learn from it. So bless us today. Give us a good day in the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we'll get to Matthew 14. And we've been looking at Jesus walking on the water since January 7th. My goal is to stretch this out for the entire year. We'll see if we can do that. What do you think? So we see Jesus appearing to the disciples. They are scared out of their minds. And he says, be of good cheer. Somebody might need to hear that this morning, by the way. Jesus said, be of good cheer. That still applies to us today. Be of good cheer. And then he said, it is I. We'll look at that in just a second. He said, I am. And then he says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. And so on the next slide, we have the reason I keep showing this slide every week. I'm not very good at PowerPoint. This took me a long time to put together. I know it looks pretty simple, but it was not easy for me. So I thought, I'm going to wring every bit of mileage out of this slide that I can. So that's why I keep throwing it up every week. But Exodus chapter 3, Moses is at the burning bush. God appears to him and says, I am that I am. God reveals something very profound about himself to Moses. We go through the Septuagint and we see that's the I me, I go. And then Jesus appears to the disciples walking on the water and he says, I me, I go, I am. The Jesus of the New Testament is the I am of the Old Testament. And that is such a profound statement. I guess I just can't get over it, and I keep throwing this slide up every week. But then we come to Matthew 14, 28. And we meet one of our favorite disciples out in the boat. And it says, and Peter. Now the word Peter, Petros, means a rock or a stone. This would be more along the lines of something you could pick up. So that's the idea here, a rock or a stone. Peter is also known by the name of Simon. Now, this is an interesting name given what we know about the man himself. Simon means, the meaning of that name is to hear or to listen. Now, when we think of Peter, do we generally think of him as a hearer? What do we think of him as? Yes, a talker. So, you know, God gave us one mouth and two ears, maybe for a reason. So it's ironic to me that his name means hearer, but his life, his personality is the opposite of what his name says. There's another name that he's known by less frequently in the Bible, but this is the name of Cephas, or Kephas in Greek. And it also means a rock or a stone. So we have Peter, Simon, and Cephas. Now, I anticipated what some of y'all might be thinking. This is not, it's regular plain old Cephas, okay? That's how he's known. All right, next slide, Matthew 14:28. It says, and Peter, Simon, Cephas, answered him and said, what did he call Jesus? Lord. Kyrios, he called Jesus Lord. Now we know what Lord means. There's nothing tricky about that. We don't have to go into Greek to figure that out. Peter is acknowledging that Jesus is the master. He's acknowledging his deity. Jesus said, I am. Peter said, I agree. That's what he said, and he calls him Lord. But we have a second bullet point there that says, is Jesus your Lord? You might say, oh yeah, man, back 28 years ago, I accepted Christ as my Savior, that's great. That's called Jesus as your Savior. That's a point of salvation, but is Jesus your Lord? See, that's a different thing. See, he can be our Savior, and that's where it starts. But him being our Lord, that's a whole different thing. In fact, this simple question, is Jesus your Lord? And we're comparing him being your Lord versus your Savior. That deserves like a whole sermon in and of itself. If we had any preachers here, they should feverishly be taking notes right now, because I'm giving like free sermon outlines here. I mean, this right here was worth the price of admission just for this alone. But is Jesus your Lord? What did Luke say? We got the verse up here. What did Luke say about Jesus being your Lord? If we're not doing the things that he says, can we rightfully call him Lord? Can we, class? So let's logically and rationally take that backwards. We're going to go backwards in the verse. It says, you do not the things which I say. Okay, the things that he says. Where do we get the things that he says? Where is that? Yeah, you're holding it in your lap in the Bible. So for us to call him Lord, remember, we have to do the things that he says. So in order for us to know the things that he said, what do we have to do? Don't we have to read the Bible? In Acts 17, the Apostle Paul was at Berea. In verse 11 says, the Bereans searched the scriptures, what's the next word? Daily, whether these things were so. So are you searching the scriptures daily? Because if you don't know what he said, you may know some of what he said from just maybe being in church or just hearing it out in the culture, but you don't know everything he said unless you're actually reading it, right? Would you agree? Is that fair? But then that's not even enough. We're supposed to do it. We have to read it, and then we have to obey it. That sounds like a choice to me. You know, I can be saved, and he is my Savior, and he might not be my Lord. Is that possible? It's been true in my life many times. So is Jesus your Lord? He was Peter's Lord, according to this verse. Peter said, Lord. The I am is standing on the water, and I call him Lord. I recognize that. I uplift his deity. Next, our last slide. And Peter, Simon, Cephas, regular old Cephas now, he answered him and said, Lord, does Peter just contradict himself here? Now he's saying, Jesus, you're Lord. I acknowledge your deity. You're the I am. But if it's really you, you see that? If it's really you. Doesn't that sound like Peter? Wouldn't he be the one that says, Lord, and then immediately, comma, there's no commas in original Greek, but Lord, and then the next thing, if it's really you. Here's where we're going to go to Nerdville for a moment. Can we do that in about 30 seconds? We're going to get geeky with Greeky, okay? But we can do this. Here's where English and Greek part ways. In English, if we say if, that's a conditional statement that means the following supposition or premise may or may not be true, and then there might be an else that goes with it. Right? That's how it works in English. Greek doesn't work that way. So it's got two conditions, a determined and an undetermined state in a conditional statement. Each state has two premises. They're in the matrix here. So the determined condition, has a premise that's assumed to be true 100% of the time. It's not questionable. It's not arguable. It's just true. Or it's 100% false. The undetermined condition, the premise is plausible, or it's likely, very probable. We would use the term probability. Or it's very improbable. So it's not completely false or completely true, but it's very probable or very likely towards false or towards true. Make sense? So the premise in this statement that Peter makes is it really Jesus? That's the premise. The condition, are you ready for this? And I don't know what word to use. I'm kind of proud of Peter, I guess, because we always think the worst of him, don't we? Admit it. We think of him, the worst of him. Peter falls into this first condition, the determined assumed to be true. And man, I don't know about you, but he says, Lord. And then immediately he follows that up and says, in what we would say, since it is you, not if it is you, since it is you. That's how he had the courage to get out of the boat. Because you know what's going to happen next, right? He leaves this, the safety of the boat. Boat's not really that safe, but the other guys didn't. He steps out on the water. He couldn't do that if that was an if. So I know it's a small thing. It's a geeky thing. We just went to Nerdville and back. Hopefully it wasn't too painful. But man, this verse is loaded with some stuff for us. So I'll leave you with this as our unknown guest speaker comes to talk to us this morning. Is Jesus your Lord? I hope he's your Savior. There could be someone here with us that Jesus is not your Savior. You've never come to that point of salvation. You need to do that today, right now. The Bible says today is what? Today is the day of salvation. If he is your Savior, is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? So be in your Bible every day this week. Be in prayer every day this week. Let's make him our Lord. All right, Pastor Herdman, come and straighten out the mess that I just made, right, please.
Well, I had a lesson, but I'll just take this time to straighten out.
Time than that, I'm afraid.
Well, it's going to be a three-day seminar. Unless started here. Well, it is a joy to be in the class today, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. And I wanted to introduce to you the Reisingers. They're back in the back with my wife. Maybe you saw them in the lobby as you made your way in. Our missionaries for today, we're certainly glad that they're here. BIMI missionaries to the Amazon Basin, and we're excited about the Lord bringing us together. And so I hope you'll get to know them. They're, again, tables in the lobby. If you didn't get to before, maybe you can see them afterwards or after the service. But they're a great blessing to get to spend some time with. I wanted to share with you a little bit about the class. I'm going to get to Philippians. Hopefully you got a handout. If you didn't, Larry's got some, or there's some in the back. If you need one, didn't get one, he'll help you out with that. We'll get to Philippians chapter 3. I'll read a couple other verses before we get there. But I also want to give you an update about the class and let you know it's been a long time in coming. I prayed a long time about what to do with this class, of course. Back in February, Brother Dan went to go pastor in South Carolina. He's doing well, by the way, as far as I know. I talked to him here about a week and a half ago or so, and he was just having some problems at church, just like everybody has problems everywhere. You have problems, he has problems, we all have them. But he was doing well. God was blessing and doing great times, having great times at the church, he said. And so we're thankful for that. But that, of course, left us here without a teacher. And so over these last months, we've had different folks come in, as you know, just to fill in sometimes 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes 1 week. And it's given me an opportunity to let different men of the church come in and teach. And it's always a joy to have folks that can handle the word and do handle the word. And I've heard great compliments of each of these men. And so I thank God for that. But I did want to announce to you, though, what we will look forward to doing after today. Next week, our teacher will be out, but Brother Graham Foran and Renee, I've talked to them about teaching the class in here, and Graham's not going to do it, but Renee said she'd be glad to, so I thought, well, we'll just take what we can get, so that's good. But I figured either get the person who can speak or the one that writes the sermons to begin with. But Brother Graham he's at a different position. Most of you know him. He is home from Brazil and you don't retire from the Lord's work, but he's retired from that aspect of what he was involved in church planting down in Brazil. He's still involved in the mission board. He's still helping with different things as they need him and is greatly a great encouragement and great help in that area. But he's going to be here. You know, he's getting his home established. He's going to be back with us. And so he's been praying, and I've been praying, and he is going to take the Victory Bible class here. But the first thing he told me is, Pastor, I can't be here next week. So I began to think maybe I didn't make a good choice. You know, the first thing he says is, I need a substitute. Now, we knew going into this, next week he's not here, but the following week, the 23rd of June, he'll be here in the class. And then, with all jokes aside, over the next 8-10 months or so, he's doing what I call the victory tour, and that is to report to his churches that has been supporting for a long time, just to let them know how the ministry is continuing to go on and flourish down there, but what God's led him into and the retirement from that aspect. And so there'll be different Sundays that he's not here, but it won't be the majority. He's going to try to plan them, so that we can have some continuity in the class. But then, as we've seen over the last few months, we've got a good group of folks that, and some of them are right here in this, that are going to be able to fill in. So he and Renee working together, though, to be a good help and help pastor the class. And I'm just thankful that the Lord has brought him back. And now we're looking forward to after these several months that he'll be touring around and reporting to churches, then he'll be here on a more permanent basis. But even that, he'll still be out filling in and doing different things. And so there'll be still some times when he's not here with us. But I'm excited about what God's going to use him to do in this class. I also want to give you this opportunity to be in the know that there are other classes that are going on. Of course, there's some over in the Home Builders class. We're making some changes in the class in the auditorium, the Gideon class. And this is not a slam at all to Brother Graham, because he would be glad to hear this as well. But please feel free. I'll be announcing some probably today or next week in what's going on in the Victory or in the Gideon class over there. So if you feel the need to take this opportunity to visit around, that's not a put down to anybody. You know that we only have so much room space in this room. And so it's not an issue of, well, I don't want to go because of him. If it works better, some people might fit better in the auditorium because that fits better in schedule. You're able to come in there and be there and don't have to walk back and forth. So I'm just sharing with you, this will not be an insult to Graham. It certainly won't be an insult to me if you check out the other classes and then you pray, like everything else we're supposed to do, pray about it. Graham's going to the auditorium, yeah, so... And then all of these things, just so you know, Lord willing, we'll be doing some changes over in the Family Life Center here before long and work with some architects, and we'll bring stuff to the church as far as changes over there. Well, anytime you have change, that means there's some construction and that means displaced people. And so whatever we do, all of it will be changed here, hopefully, in next year or so, at least temporarily, while we readjust and get some more education space, because we found several things out about the church, and that is that we don't have enough education adult Sunday school space, and so we'd like to have some more of it and be able to break some classes up, and not for breaking them up sake, but to get more camaraderie and some more small group settings, some community, because that's certainly what people need in our day and age. So I just want to give you those few things. We are looking forward to it. And so I just want to share with the class where we're at. All right, well, I'm going to get into Philippians chapter 3. If you turn your place there, find your place there. This spot in Scripture is an exhortation to know Christ. And so we're not going to look only at that aspect. We're also going to apply it, though, to areas in your life that you need to look forward and go forward for the glory of Christ. But I'm going to read to you Galatians chapter 5, and you can keep your place there, or you turn to Galatians 5:7 if you want. The Bible says, "Ye did run well," as the apostle is used of God to write to these folks, "who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" And then God goes on in verse number 10, a few verses later, saying that he, that person that troubleth you, shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. So there was a real person that God was using Paul to speak about. Somebody got you off track. Well, just keep that in mind, because we'll come back to it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24, it says this, that they that run in a race run all. And so the Bible likens the Christian life to a race that you're running. Not so you can see, wow, I hope I beat everybody else. No, you're not really in competition with them. You may be in competition with yourself in that regard. But we are trying to strive to live for the Lord. So now we're looking at Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because it's so fitting in the life that we live, because I realize that most of us allow our past and the things that we've messed up in to hold us back from doing what God wants us to do. Now, again, this is not the primary interpretation of this passage. This passage is about knowing Christ in verse number 10. By any means, in verse number 11, I might have attained the resurrection of the dead. Now, not as though I'd already attained. He's talking about knowing Christ, and meaning I just press toward the mark to try to know him more. But an application is that we can have in our lives this great principle that you're going to have to put some things behind you, or you will never go forward as far as God wants you to go. So we're going to get into it and trust it's a blessing. Father, be with us now is our prayer. Thank you again for the time to be in this class. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this, I want you to think about in verse number 13, the Apostle Paul in humility says, I have not apprehended, meaning I haven't gotten everything that I wanted, but this one thing I do. I'm trying to forget those things which are behind. I'm telling this morning that from verse number 13, there is this aspect that I need to forget the past that's behind. This one thing I do, what is that one thing? I forget. Now, you understand that, humanly speaking, the Apostle Paul would have had plenty that he needed to forget. This is the guy who was the one that was killing Christians, and this was the guy that was used of Satan to wreak havoc on the church, and he had a lot to forget. Well, that's what he says he does, and I'm sure that in your mind you have to do this again and again. This isn't just a one-time thing where you say, I'm just going to forget about all the things that I've messed up on, but instead you have to do it continually. But can I tell you how that happens, how you continually forget those things? When you continually dwell on Christ and you continually look toward him. But there are so many things in our past. There's folks that you wish that you had found the person who you now currently are married to. You wish that, there's a portion of my life I wish I could erase, but that's not possible. There's other people that we've done things and we've mistreated folks along the way. We didn't do as we want. And you'd like to say all of those were done before you were saved, but that's certainly not true either. We've got things that we wish that as a Christian we just would have had more insight into what God, or more desire to follow the Lord. But there's this aspect of, he says, that I just need to forget those things. I want you to think about this, and I think I've got the right outline that I've made for you. If there's spellings on that, usually Amy types these for me, but she did not on this one, and I was doing it late. So if there's mistakes, please forgive me. That's my fault. But you're going to have to do this by not dwelling in the past. And oftentimes we think about this aspect when we say, I've got to forget the failures. But can I just give you another quick aspect of it? Sometimes we got to forget the successes as well. You remember how that used to be, that when you talk about in school, when you'd have a sore loser? And that's true. You can just be mad and scuff and huff off. But you know, I've seen a lot of sore winners as well. And so we're going to have to, in our lives, if we want to do what God wants us to do in your marriage, in your life, in your business, in this class, whatever, not only are we going to have to forget the failures, but sometimes we're going to have to forget the successes, because sometimes we get such a big head, we're not any good to anybody because of what God allowed us to do. And notice how I said that. It's what God allowed you to do. When you stand up and you kind of grab your lapel and say, wow, look what we did. Look what I did. I'm always reminded of a funny little story when the rooster rode across the swinging bridge with the elephant, and we got to the other side, that the rooster said to the elephant, did you feel that thing shake while you and I came across? You know, it was mostly elephant, not much rooster. But sometimes that's the way we act. God, we really did a good one there, didn't we? We didn't do very much. The Lord does a lot through us. So failures and successes, we can't allow it to pull us down or puff us up. Because you understand where pride gets us every single time. I think I mentioned it to the other service if you were in there, but I had some issue happen. Somebody was unkind to me, and so I just give it right back to them, exactly the same way they did to me. They were grumpy and mean, so I thought, well, you get what you deserve. And you can even add spiritually, whatsoever man soweth, that shall I reap. So you gave it, buddy, you sowed it, I'm reaping it. I'm letting you reap it now. But how many of you understand, even though that's what we want to do, that's not what we're supposed to do? And if we're not careful, we'll allow those failures to keep us down. The best thing you can do is get it right, forgive it, confess it to God, go find the person who you blessed out and you was grumpy to, and tell them you're sorry, shouldn't act like that, you know better, and go on. But I'm saying forget the past. Number two, if we look at verse number 14, you've certainly got to leave some things behind, but then you're going to have to put some effort in everything. Again, the Apostle Paul says, I press. That's a word that we know. If you're a basketball fan, you've got to press. You're pushing forward. We also know if you're a weightlifter, you're a bench press. Also, if you're anything else, you're pressing against it. We understand that he's saying, I press toward that mark, meaning I'm hard at it. There's a mentality going around in the world, a Christian world that is, that you just let whatever happens happen. If you're in Christ, everything is settled. That's true, by the way. But it goes to an unhealthy level or an unhealthy degree when it says, oh, if you're in Christ, there's nothing you could do to make Christ love you anymore. Again, that's true. There's nothing you could do to get in a better standing with Christ. Again, that's true as well. There's nothing you can do to help your salvation. Definitely true. But there are lots of things in your Christian life that go contrary to this. Some modern thinking, there are many things that you could do in your Christian life that you are supposed to do as you grow closer to Him. So if I get out here and the person who the restaurant we go to, they're unkind, I just give it right back to them, and then I fill out a bad review online and I try to spread everything I can around there. Does that make me, or everything bad I can about, does that make me any less saved? No. But does it make me look much like a Christian? Again, no. And so Paul's saying, I press. I don't press so I can finally, even when he says back in verse number 12, when he says, not as though I've already attained, or no, verse number 11 rather, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection. He's not saying that, wow, I'm hoping I get good enough so that one of these days I'll rise. He knows that he will, and he's just bringing that because it's tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know him. But as we look at this, and he says in verse number 14, as I press, that's not because he's hoping that God will shine upon him. This is out of that desire to be more like him. As Mark mentioned earlier, everybody that is saved, you wouldn't look at them and say, man, he must be a disciple of Christ. When we get saved, we have that born-again experience, and God saves, we put our faith in Christ. Well, look at all the people who were from time to time around Christ. And I believe really they enjoyed him. They even named him as the Savior. I believe they believed on him as Messiah. But every time difficulties came, it still came back down to that small group, and we call them the disciples. So it is true to be somebody who's saved and not be much of a disciple, but the Apostle Paul says, I'm pressing. And so the way to start and finish right, as I believe is what I titled your outline, is this, and that is to put effort in all you do. Your family deserves it. Since I'm a Christian, My family deserves me to act like one. This church deserves me to act like one. My employers, if I'm working for somebody, they deserve to have me work that way. In Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says, servants, obey in all things your masters. If you're a Christian, then your boss deserves for you to act like one. We ought to put effort in all we do. And the last one I put on there was lost people, really, they really need it. They may not know it. They may not acknowledge it. But at some time, everybody who doesn't name the name of Christ will eventually be cast from the presence of the Lord forever and ever in a place called hell. And so they count on that as well. But as we are talking about starting and finishing, I want you to draw your attention to the big points. Forget the things that have been in the past. Because there are so many of us, mistakes, sin, that we've been involved in the past, we will allow that forevermore to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. My friend, you can't go back and do it. We used to tell our kids when one of them would get mad at the other one would apologize. As I know your kids never did that, but ours had some knockdown dragouts, I guess. But after they got things right, and then we made them apologize, then sometimes the one that got offended, the one that had something done against them, they would still be mad at the other one for a long time. And we would tell the kids, the one that was still mad and huffing because the other person messed them up or hurt them or whatever, I would tell them, if it be Maddie or whoever it was, I'd say, Maddie, all that he can do is apologize, and that's all. He's already done that. I didn't tell her this, but she was trying to require him to do something that he couldn't do. He couldn't do any more than sincerely apologize. Well, I'm giving you the same advice. You're looking at past failures, or successes for that matter, but you're looking at past failures, things that you wish had never happened, but yet you can't get away from it. You won't be a blessing to other people because of some past failure. You won't stand up and go be all that God wants you to be because this thing is like weighting you down, like a ton of bricks behind you, just won't let you fly. Well, Scripture teaches, and the Apostle Paul, as he is exhorting us to know Christ, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. And so forget the past and then press, put effort in that. And then, I'm going to depart from Philippians for just a little while. Also, though, you're going to have to know yourself well enough to leave off some hindrances. Your hindrances may not be my hindrances and mine not somebody else's, but you're going to have to leave them off. I read to you earlier in Galatians chapter 5 when the apostle was preaching, teaching, writing to those people. He says, you did run well. Who hindered you? Sometimes it's truly somebody, and you know who they are. They bring out the worst in you. You're doing pretty good until you get around so-and-so. Can I just tell you, as all adults in here, wise up. Don't be around so-and-so. If they always bring out the worst in you, then either get right or get out of their presence. And so leave off the hindrances. Certain people can sometimes do that. I always joke, some people, you come to them, you see them at the grocery store, you see them somewhere else. Well, how are you doing? You know, I can attest I've learned not to ask some people that. You know how I know? Because you're going to get the answer. I always tell Amy, if you don't want the answer, don't ask the question. And so I'm learning that as pastor. Hey, what do you think about this new program? If you don't want to know, don't ask them. Just assume they like you. But certain people, certain activities, and the question that I left there in the third one underneath there is just do a little quizzing on yourself. Does it pull you down? Now, there's a line there because we're supposed to be kind, gracious, nice to everybody. So I'm not saying that you see somebody coming down the aisle at the grocery, oh, I got to get away from them. I got to get away from them. I'm not saying that you'd be unkind. But I'm also saying that you don't say, hey, let's go spend all day together and do some activities. If you know that every time you get with them, they bring out your worst tendencies. And so ask yourself this question, does it pull you down? And when you answer those things, you do it kindly, but you leave off those hindrances. Now, back to Philippians. As we start and finish right, as we start a project, as we go forward in the Christian life, remember your destination. Verse number 20 says this in Philippians 3, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." If you're having trouble with finishing something, because I don't think for a moment that there's not a bunch of things that God has already done in our hearts. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to be this way as a husband. I'm supposed to live this way. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do the other. There's many things that have been birthed in your heart by God. Well, if you're going to stay on track and start something and then eventually finish it, one thing I believe you got to do is put into action what it says in verse number 20. Remember that your conversation, your citizenship is not on this earth. It's in heaven. So one preacher said it like this. We ought to live our lives with 2 days in mind, that day and this day. That day we stand before Him and today. So 2 days' actions ought to be chosen or ought to be dictated by that day. And if we're not going to be happy on that day, then we probably ought about it, then we ought not to be engaged in it today. And as Dr. Sexton, he was the pastor over at in Powell, and he made that statement. It just hit me. It's like, that's exactly right. How many things am I engaging in, living for, consumed with, that don't have a two hoots worth of difference for that day? Now, everything that we do may not have eternal impact. We're going to get up. I don't know if you can say that coffee that you took has eternal impact. Unless it kept you from, we've got a heckler in the front. But I suppose it does help you if it prevented you from killing some family member, then that's a very internal impact. So I understand you can get nitpicky. I don't know about this. We moved, sometimes all we get done around here is moving chairs, one event to the next. We'll just move, we'll set up the gym and tear down the gym, set up the gym. You say, well, I don't know if that has much of an internal impact. Well, I know we can get nitpicky about that, and we can say, okay, that's for the greater goal and all that, but you understand what I mean when the scripture says, whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. It's tied pretty closely to my point this morning, and that is, remember your destination. And when God puts something on your heart, I'm not, although the principle would apply, but I'm not talking about just finishing your mulch bed. I'm not talking about just finishing your yard project or finishing an old remodel project. Although the principle would say start right and finish, yes, I get that. But I'm speaking of those things that God puts on our hearts. Some of you really have been led of the Lord to engage in a business. God's just, he put on your heart. It wasn't just a good idea you had. Well, I think I'll do that. It wasn't that God put on your heart. Some of you, you have engaged in and you're still engaging in, and or maybe God's working your heart, but your past is keeping you from it. You're engaging in a ministry that God wants you to start or help in. We were talking earlier about our bus ministry. Maybe somebody might say, you know, it's a lot of work, but I believe I can get in it. Well, I'm challenging us, when God puts it on your heart, that you not let the past keep you from doing what God's got for you in the future. And one of the big ways that you'll not let that past keep you from it is when you remember your destination. One of these days, I'm going to be with the Lord. I ought to view things from that heavenly perspective. I ought to look at it for, like your grandma used to say, for heaven's sake. Well, you and I ought to live for heaven's sake. Everything.